Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Thank you to the choir for that start to our service. Nathan is going to be speaking to us from James later on in the service, and we'll hear the first part of a new sermon series, Make or Break, and it's Faith Under Pressure is the new series, and then Make or Break is today's sermon. It's the first few verses of the book of James. I'd like to read you the first few verses of Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So it's a great thought that as we serve God, he is physically restoring us as well as spiritually restoring us. And leaning on his word and not on our own understanding has been the theme of the songs this morning. So let's pray together and then we will stand and worship together. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for our understanding and our ability to read and have access to your word. Lord, we have it in our own language in so many forms. And Father, we are grateful for that. We know that that's not the case around the world. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who expound your word. And Lord, for those who understand and explain the practical application of it. So Father, we thank you for your word in our lives, that it nourishes our bones, it feeds our lives and feeds our hearts. And Father, we pray now that as we come to you and worship you, the words of the songs, the words of the Bible readings, and the word that Nathan brings later will be direct into our hearts, will guide us, will give us a straight path to follow. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Do feel free to stand or sit as is most comfortable. If you do get too hot this morning, don't feel that you're nailed to your chair. Please do go out and get some water if that would help you, or ask someone else to get you some water if that would help. And stay well in the service this morning. So let's stand together and sing Ancient Words. the passage in James mentions trials and tribulations, and I thought I best not repeat too many songs from last week, but this one says, there is strength within the sorrow, there is beauty in our tears. You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Amen. It says in the passage that Nathan's going to preach from that we mustn't be blown about by different waves, so we must follow the way of our Lord. So please do take your seats again. Well done. I'll test your voices again later. But there we are. Now I have a massive birthday box beside me. So many things peeping over the top. Is there anyone amongst the children or young people who has a birthday in the last few days or the next few days? No, no one at the moment. Oh, there is. Sorry, you're standing up. You're way above me there. Come on down. Do come down. Looking round on the bottom and everyone's up on the top. That's it. Coming down. Well done. Got a tiny person on their way. Hey! Hello, what's your name?
Isaac.
Isaac. And have you had your little birthday?
Friday.
And how old were you on Friday, Isaac?
Five,
okay. Being fed the answers here. Would you like to choose something from the box? That's it. Great, thank you. Let's sing before Isaac escapes. Let's sing happy birthday to him. Good name. That's great. I know we have had some adult birthdays sort of taking place through June as well, and some to come. So I know Babs is celebrating. She's away celebrating. So lots of birthdays going on. I'd just like to remind you, I should have a sermon notes in my hand, but I haven't. So just have a look at your sermon notes. Couple of things in there that we've been asking about for a little while now. I only have four photographs in the office. So you all need to go home and look in your albums and find me some photos of you when you were tiny, okay? I appreciate not everybody's got a baby photo of themselves. Usually your parents tend to keep those. So try and find one of you as young as you possibly can, and ping them across to me in the office, or fetch them in and I'll photocopy them. I won't take the originals off you. So please do see if you can have a look in those boxes and albums, and or look back on your phone if you're that young. Look back on your phone and send me some photos. Have to say that. See what we can find. I was a bit mortified when mine came out in black and white. There we go. And the other thing is, next Saturday at 1:30, we are hosting another newcomers afternoon. It's a really good time to get to know people in the church. So if you haven't been to one of those, and I realized we were talking about it during the week, and I realized that maybe there were some people who had joined the church since lockdown but hadn't ever been to a newcomers event, just because of we were limited on our meetings when we first reopened. So please do come along to those. There's a note in the lounge on the back that you can add your name to. There'll be tea and coffee and cakes, always cake, and it's just easy for us to get to know you and to speak to you when it's not such a big group of everyone together. So do come along to that. Put your name on the list, speak to Nathan or speak to myself, and do come along to that next Saturday. That'd be really good to get people to know one another. And we're going to pray for the children and young people, and we're going to sing and they're going to leave us for their groups. But let's pray for them first. Father, we continue to be amazed at the privilege that you bestow upon us by having so many families and children here in the church. And Lord, we thank you for those who lead them faithfully week by week. And we pray now that as they look at different Bible characters, they would be learning from those characters, dipping deep into your word. Father, we pray for the way, and Lord, we know that they're constantly being tested and having exams, and we just ask that you would bless them as they revise and study. And Lord, as you guide them into what they may do in future years, we pray that you would direct their pathway. Father, that you would be indeed their waymaker. So Lord, we pray for all of the children and the young people, and Lord, we ask that you would be a real blessing in their time together now. Amen. So as the young people leave us, just to make it easier for them to get out the rows, we're going to stand and sing "Salvation Belongs to Our God." Amen. Please be seated and we'll bring our prayers before the Lord. Do use the first page inside your sermon notes has got prayer requests in there, and we're really grateful to all those who support us in prayer, whether they're here in the service or not. And we just ask that you would bear the whole church in prayer for those things that are mentioned there. Let's pray together. The Lord God, we've already sung, you are here moving in our midst, and that your Spirit is healing hearts and healing minds. Father, we know that that's true. We rest on your unfailing word that you are the great healer. And Lord, we pray for those who need that special touch today. Father, we pray for those who are here in the service and yet have something that is making them anxious or concerned physically or mentally. And Lord, we pray for those who are not even able to be in the service. And Lord, we ask that you would heal them. Lord, we pray that you would bring relief from pain, that you would alleviate darkness of spirit, and Lord, that you would raise up all of your people in this place. Lord, we are a massive family in this place, and we want your hand to be in control in our lives. Lord, we do pray for those who have had particular events in their lives. Lord, we pray for the Reverend David Sappleton. Lord, we ask that he would be recovering well. And Lord, for those who have tests and situations coming up that they need to face, Lord, we pray that their hearts would know that they are not alone, that we are with them, and that most of all, you are with them. And Father, we do pray for the trouble and the trials that we see around the world at the moment. Lord, there's political unrest and war in so many places. And Lord, that we know that the outcome of that is difficulties for people. Father, we watched in horror as the dam broke in the Ukraine this week. We pray for those whose homes have been battered by artillery and now they've been flooded out. Lord, we do pray for those who live in such terrible situations. And we know that we have so much to be grateful for and to appreciate. So Lord, we know that you are with us in our service this morning, and that we want to tuck ourselves in under your arm, under your shelter. So we do pray that you would bring a blessing to us, Lord, that you would heal our hearts as we get ready to listen to your word through Nathan. And Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayers and bring a blessing into those lives we've mentioned. And Lord, we just have a moment of quiet. Lord, there are people that we can't mention out loud, but we bring them to you now. Amen. Just before Nathan comes to speak to us, our next song says, he lavishes grace as our burdens grow greater. He sends us more strength as our labours increase. And we are to lean hard, lean on the everlasting arms. So please, if you are able, do stand and we'll join and sing this together.
Sends us more strength as our labors increase. Lean on the everlasting arms. Certainly thanks to our worship team, for Bev and the team for leading us this morning in worship. And good morning to you all. So good to see you all this morning on this scorching day. It's beautiful weather outside, but it is extremely warm. And I can see you fanning and using anything you can find just to cool you down. And again, there is some water there. And please, I will not be offended at all if you need to get up and go to the kitchen and get yourself a glass of water if you need some more water there as well. So please do keep yourself hydrated in this warm weather. All right, I want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning. And as you've heard and as you've seen in your sermon notes, we're starting a brand new sermon series. And over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a journey through the book of James. So I want to encourage each of you, you know, at home, with your families, friends, go through the book of James over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at the book of James. It's a very practical book, but it also has a lot of spiritual nuggets for us that will help us in our lives, in the challenges that we face. So today, we're looking at James chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 8. And I'm going to read from Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase. And it reads like this. I, James, am a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you are doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-wiped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all of your options open. Verse 2 again. Consider it a sheer gift, friends. Consider it a gift. What is James on about? When tests and challenges come at you. In the King James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations or trials, knowing that the trying of your faith, it works patience. And then he goes on to say, let patience have its perfect work. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. Your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us today. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, inspire us, and challenge us, Lord, through your word, so that we can leave this place knowing more about you. Would you anoint me afresh as your servant, that I may preach and boldly declare your good news to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Make or break. Can you say that with me? Make or break. Friends, the context of this practical yet spiritually profound letter, penned by the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, James, is widely considered to be one of the how-to books in the Bible. The very purpose of this letter, this missive, was to offer practical help to Jewish Christians, perhaps who were living outside of Palestine. And it's believed that many of the recipients of this letter would have been living under precarious situations, conditions, and the majority perhaps would have been poor. that have been suffering from oppression imposed by their fellow Jews among whom they were living. And evidently, some of those Christians would have been imprisoned and deprived even of their soul possessions. So James writes to the believers living abroad to offer words of encouragement along the way, to offer words of exhortation and instruction on various themes that we are going to explore throughout the coming weeks. However, James, right here in chapter 1, in just the first 8 verses, he's not interested in a long-winded introduction. James has no interest in taking his time to offer elaborated greetings to the leaders of the churches in various regions. He has no time to follow the religious etiquette and protocol of the day. But he gets right to the heart of the matter. And he says, guys and girls, I know that you are facing a difficult time right now, scattered throughout the various regions. And I know that the cost of living crisis has you worried and hopeless. I know that oppression and injustice has you feeling downcast and dejected. And I know that the ongoing threats of persecution and violence against God's people, it has you perplexed, it has you feeling isolated. And friends, for us today, living in 2023, although the context may be different from those ancient Jews living in AD 46, but in like manner, we too have our own struggles. We too have our own personal conflicts, our own Goliaths standing in our way. Because whether you were an early church believer or a 21st century Christian today, whether we like it or not, all of us at various times in our lives, church, all of us will experience trials and tests. And our faith in God will experience immense pressure. Hence the reason behind this sermon series, the title, Faith Under Pressure. Because let's face it, church, trusting in Jesus is not always a walk in the park. It's not always a perfect picture of tranquility and serenity. Because the very faith that we boldly declare can often be declared and practiced and lived under immense pressure. Just think about it. You love the Lord Jesus with all of your heart, but yet still, we are living out our faith under pressure. And the challenge, church, with living our faith and practicing our faith under pressure is the reality that the pressures of life can either make or break us. They can either make something beautiful out of our lives, or they also have the potential to break us. It's just like an athlete who trains hard each day to perform at the very highest of levels, perhaps in the Olympic Games. But despite what is done in the gym, when it comes to the grand stage where millions are watching and perusing around the world and the stadium is packed with onlookers, it's at that moment, church, when the pressure for the athlete can either make them or break. Some of you here today can perhaps look back to the day when you took your driving test for the very first time. And perhaps there was some nerves. There was pressure to get it right during the examination. Or maybe it's that student who studies and prepares to sit the exam with diligence. But when you sit around the exam table, it's at that moment where the pressure can either make or break. And even for parents and grandparents here today, You know what it's like for your children and your grandchildren to put you on the spot with a question that came right out of the blue. And now you are under pressure to answer the question with wisdom and with accuracy. It's like the story of a little girl who finally got to attend a wedding for the very first time. And sitting in the church, she asked her mother a question. Mom, why is the bride dressed in white? To which her mother replied on the spot, well, white is the color of happiness, and it's the happiest day of her life. Oh, said the little girl, but after pondering in her mind, she touched her mom again and asked another question. But mom, if wearing white means that it's the happiest day of her life, why is the man wearing black? Because even in the everyday circles of our lives, the pressure to get it right, the pressure to perform, the pressure to be, to become, the pressure to have all the right answers can either make or break. As E. Lilly puts it this way, it's not your circumstances that can make or break your day, but it's your attitude towards your challenges. Now, before we transition to our points in our sermon notes, I want to make this important point because it's important to understand that it's never the will of God for the pressures of this life to break us. It is not the will of God for the pressures, the struggles, the challenges, the tests, the trials of this life to break us. God has no desire to see us broken and battered by the ebbs and the flows of life. That's the job of the enemy. Satan is the chief instigator that seeks to use the pressures of this life and the stress of this life to drive people away from God and take them away from his protection. It's just like when Jesus was giving his disciples a heads up of what was about to happen to him. The very fact that he was about to be crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. And it was his friend, you remember the story, Peter, who stood up and said, "No way, Lord! Not on my watch! I'm not going to sit back and just allow this bad thing to happen to you." To which Jesus replied, "Get thee behind me, not Peter, but get behind me, Satan." Because Jesus understood it's the devil's plan and purpose to take us away from what God has willed for our lives. You see, friends, the devil may want the tests and the trials of this life to break us and to destroy us, but God uses the test and the trials not to break us, but to purify us. God uses trials and tests to develop us, to teach us something, wisdom, to help our faith to grow, and to prune and to develop our character. God wants to take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. God wants to teach us something through the test. God wants to prune those areas of our lives that need development. God wants to make us what he desires us to be. As the hymn writer of old put it this way, "Make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Bids me to come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be." Church, God is in the making business, and it's the devil's business and provocative to break us and to destroy us. However, church, although the devil desires to sift us as wheat, God can use those tests and trials to teach us lessons that we need to learn. So the first question I want to ask this morning in the notes is, what have you produced under pressure? Or if you're going through something right now, what are you producing under pressure? If you look back over your lives, some of those tests that you went through, some of those major setbacks that at the time it was so uncomfortable for you, you can look back over the course of your life and you can say, wow, in that moment it was hard. It was so difficult. In that moment, I didn't know how I was going to even get through this. But here you are now, being able to look back and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? What have you produced under pressure? Or what are you producing right now under pressure? You see, one of the things that you will notice about gold and the lovely gold rings and necklaces and pendants and bracelets that we often enjoy and buy at our leisure. The thing about gold is that although jewelry may look beautiful as the finished product, please understand that even gold has a testimony. Gold has a story to tell. Because although it may look beautiful to look at the finished product, but we often overlook the process. Because when you study the process of how we get those beautiful gold necklaces and pendants, because even gold that is mined from the earth is mixed with many impurities that need to be removed from it. It's done through the process of what's called the gold refinement process. Whether it's acid or using fire to refine the gold, where a furnace is heated up to almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit and the gold melts, leaving all of the impurities floating at the surface. Or whether they use electricity or the Miller process to purify and to refine the gold. The key to gold, church, the key to making its way and shaping it to what it's designed to be, it's only made possible through the refining process. And church, in like manner, James lets us know this morning that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials. That we should count it joy because although the process may seem difficult, the refining process may be challenging, but if we stay the test of time, something beautiful can come out of the process. I don't know about you, but I can look back over my life and see how God has pruned me and developed me. And although I'm far from perfect, I can look back over the years and say, wow, thank God for the process. Some of you can testify and say, years ago, the things that you used to do, that the things that you used to say, the places that you used to go, and now you're in a totally different sphere of life. Because God has pruned you. He has developed you. He has taken you on a journey to get rid of those impurities, to prune and develop and nurture your character. Count it all joy, James says, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith, it produces something. And he says, it produces patience. And then he goes on to say, we should let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Because although the process may be uncomfortable, Although none of us, if we're honest, none of us want the trial. None of us want the tests. If we could choose not to have them, we would say, no, Lord, we don't want them. But it's important, church, that we don't despise the process. Don't despise it. See it as an opportunity to ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, what are you showing me right now? What do you want me to learn through this process? This could be the season of your life, friend, where God is shaping you, pruning you, getting rid of those bad habits, stirring our hearts to action, teaching us to love our neighbors more dearly, putting us in uncomfortable situations so that we can trust him and not ourselves for the answers. Why? Because God wants the refiner's fire to purify all of the dross and the toxins, all of those things which are displeasing to him. And that is the very reason why we should count it all joy. And the challenge, as you see in your notes, is that sometimes people can break under that pressure and run away from the challenge at hand. However, God desires not to break us, but he's making something beautiful through the process. But second and finally this morning, not only is the question, what are we producing under pressure, or what have we produced under pressure? But secondly and finally, I want to ask the question, where do you go under pressure? Where do you go under pressure? To whom do you turn to when life's challenges have you backed up against the wall? You see, under pressure, we may be tempted to look for temporary means, a way of escape, to numb the pain, or to find alternative ways out of the test and the trial. Years ago, when I was just turned 18, and I went to a summer holiday camp through Camp America, and went over to the States, to Pennsylvania, on a summer camp. And we were looking after children and young people for about 2 months there. It was a really good time. And it was interesting, there was a young lad who, throughout the week, was well behaved. You know, no issues whatsoever. But when it came to the last few days of camp before he would return home, we noticed his behavior changed. Decided to run away and get away from the group more often. Even on one occasion, the camp leaders had to assemble to look for him because he had run away from the group. He would get more demonstrative and more argumentative with the other kids. And I remember having a conversation with this young lad and said, what's going on? You know, all week you didn't show any, you know, you were fine. What's going on? Are you okay? And then I discovered the reason why he was running away and acting up is because he was scared to go home. He was scared to go back home. The situations at home were not favorable for this young lad. And the emotion for him was to run away, to become isolated, because he didn't want to go home. Well, church, in like manner, so it is sometimes with us. We want to run away, even from God's protection, and say, let me try and solve this test by myself. Let me try and figure it out on my own. It's too much. I can't bear this. I need to numb the pain. I need some temporary means of escape. But God says, no, I don't want you to use temporary means to escape the test. But what I want you to do is turn to me. Pray to me. And have no doubt in your mind, James says, but believe me in the process. Turn to me. Look to me. Because I am your Lord. I am your shepherd. And I want to guide you through the process. You see, we often quote the truth of God's word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But when we are right in the midst of the test and the trial, it sometimes feels like we have been forsaken. But it's in that moment where we have to turn to him and trust him through the process to say, God, I don't feel comfortable in this situation right now, but yet still, I trust you. I look to you. I turn to you. Because you are the source of my strength. And not only does James encourage believers to turn to God in the process, but he then urges them against doubting God after the prayer. He says, don't be double-minded in your prayers. Don't just offer prayer requests to God and say, God, I know you're able to do this, but then after you say, I don't think it's going to be possible, you know, Brian, you know. God, yes, Lord, you can do this. You can move mountains. Yes, Lord, you can heal the sick. Yes, Lord, you can take me through this process, through this test. Oh, but Graham, it's going to be a tough one. You know, I can't see it right now. I can't see it how it's going to work out. That's double-minded. But we have to trust God with our whole hearts and minds. Yes, Lord, even though it's painful right now, I trust you. And I refuse to doubt. I refuse not to believe your power, Cuda. I refuse not to believe that you are able. Because here's what I've discovered, even in ministry, in praying for the sick and praying for each other as we go through life challenges. I believe with all of my heart that God is a healer. But if he chooses not to heal after we pray for someone, it doesn't change the fact that he is a healer. You see, if we look at it from the natural perspective, the human perspective, and that's why many in the world have a problem with Christianity, because they'll say, well, how is it that you still choose to believe God when he refused to heal your loved one? Because they base it, what have you done for me lately? If I ask for something, it should be done. And if it's not done in the way that I like, then I can't believe you. But I believe with all of my heart, whether he heals me or not, God is still a healer. His position never changes despite the ebbs and the flows of life. God, you are still on the throne despite what's happening in Ukraine. God, you are still on the throne even when politicians lose their minds. God, you are still on the throne even though I'm struggling to pay my bills. God, you are still on the throne even though my loved one has cancer. God is still on the throne. And we should always pray to him, look to him without doubting him. Not being double-minded, but trusting him all of the way. That's what faith is. It's complete trust and confidence in someone. And in reference to God, when we place our trust in him, we have complete trust and confidence in him. And if we don't have complete trust and confidence in him, then it's not the full picture of faith. Faith is total confidence and trust in him. So finally, this morning, under pressure, we must avoid turning in the wrong directions, looking for help in the wrong places, because this only frustrates us and it wreaks more havoc in our lives. However, in every circumstance of life, we can turn to God in prayer because He loves us and He loves to have fellowship with us. As I draw this sermon to a close, you may be right in the middle of a trial and a test right now. Or perhaps you just coming out of one and you're looking back over the process and just analyzing all that has transpired. But whether you are just coming out of one or whether you are right in the middle of a trial and a test right now, I'm here to encourage you that it is the will of God not to destroy you. But through the test and the trial, God wants to make you. He wants to develop you. He wants to prune you. Refine as fire. He wants to purify you so that we can come forth as pure gold. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much that we can count it all joy, even when we fall into various trials and temptations. Lord, we don't like the trials, we don't like the tests, it doesn't feel good. We would rather not have them. But thank you that even through the trials and the tests, through your omniscience, through your power, you can help to develop us and to shape us in the direction that you want for us and for our lives. Because you want to get glory out of our lives. You want us, Lord, to be developed in you. Lord, as we are seeking to grow spiritually as a church family, Lord, through spiritual growth, we recognize that there will be challenges and tests. And Father, we pray in those moments that we will not look to the left nor to the right. We will not, Lord, abandon the process. We will not despise the process, but we will let patience have its perfect work so that we can be complete and lacking in nothing. Help us to speak well of the process, to count it all joy. Because, Lord, you want to do great things in our lives. And, Lord, we pray also that as we go through these tests and trials, help us, Lord, not to sit on our testimonies, but to share them with each other. Because we'll never know. What we are going through right now, maybe our neighbor, someone else is going through the same thing. And Lord, the lessons that you are teaching us, we can help to be a blessing to someone else. So Father, we just simply say this morning, have thine own way. Even through the test, even through the trial, we will trust you and we will not doubt because you want to make something beautiful out of our lives. So bless each and every one of us now. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us strength for the journey ahead to face those challenges and those tests. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as the worship team come back, we're going to return to song. And what a really appropriate song to sing as we close. It is well with my soul. Whatever we're going through, it is still well with our soul. So if you're able to stand with us, or if you'd prefer to sit, that's fine. It is well with my soul. Amen. It is well. It is well with our souls.
Amen.
Friends, as we draw this service to a close, I just want to again remind you regarding this coming Saturday. For those of you who are newcomers, recently joined the church, if recently become a new member, or as Bev said, even going back to the pandemic and you joined the church around that time frame, and it will be really good for you to come out this Saturday and just have a time of getting to know each other better. I'll be there with some of the other deacons as well, get to know the leadership team better as well. And yeah, please do come. The sheet is on the notice board in the lounge. Sign your name so that we can get an idea of how many will be attending. God bless you all. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you again that you, through trials and tests and challenges and life's situations, that you can use those things to refine us and to make something beautiful out of our lives. We thank you that you love us so much that you will never want to break us, but you only want to build us up and to make something beautiful that brings you glory and brings you honor. So Lord, help us now as we be the church dispersed into the world. Help us, Lord, to continue to do your bidding, to be obedient to your voice, and to follow your perfect will. Help us, Lord, to be available, to be have that ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And Lord, even through those tests, even through those trials, we pray that we won't despise them, but yes, we would count them all joy. So as we leave this place now, but never from your presence, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Love you, church. We love you.